Somebody give them a shout of worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. Love your name, love your name, love your name, love your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost here tonight. I always say it, but I'll say it again. You're not here by accident. You're not here because you had nothing else to do, but you're here in the divine will of God, and God knew you're going to be here for a divinely appointed hour such as this. Hallelujah. Jesus has showed up for you. Jesus has destined this service for you. You ought to throw your hands in the air. You ought to raise your voice to heaven. You ought to give him worship. You ought to give him praise. You ought to give him adoration, because God has designed this for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Savior. I love you, Savior. Nobody like you, God. Nobody like you, God. Nobody. Nobody like you, God. Sharayanda yakorasi. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sometimes in life you just need to slow it down and you need to enjoy the presence of the Lord. Seems like we rush to every destination, but it's in moments like this we got to take it out of overdrive and say, God, it's in your hands. You take me where you want to take me. Hallelujah. I feel him here in such a wonderful way tonight. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 16. Keep praying. Mark chapter 16, 15 through 20. Thank you again, everybody that made a point to come to church tonight. Thank you, music, praise team. Dynamic as always. Thank you, saints of God, for praying and worshiping God. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. We don't follow after signs. They just follow after us. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, the power of God, the authority of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight. I feel like the Lord has laid this on my heart for several months now. And I kind of feel like this is the night that God wants me to speak about it. And it's called Fill the Pew. Fill the Pew. And you see papers there with names that have been here at one time or another. We actually have hundreds and hundreds of names that I did not put on those pews, but I did put on those that have been here in the last little while. But we want to believe God that God's going to fill the pew and not only bring them, but also bring a host of others if we'll be about the Father's business. Look to your neighbor, look him in the eye, get your preacher finger out and say, fill the pew. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. Amen. Mark chapter 16, 15 through 20. My daddy gave us a commandment, not a request, not just something to consider, not just something to think about, but he lays it out there and he gives us a command. And that command was to go and make disciples. Give out what you have been given. As you have freely received, it's time for you to freely give. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but God has been good to this boy. God has turned this boy's life around. There is an old song that says, when I stop and think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Anybody, God been good to you? Oh yeah, that's why we raise our hands and that's why we clap our hands, because there was a God that saved us. There was a God that forgave us. There was a God that showed us mercy. There was a God that wrapped his arms of love around us. There was a God that turned our life around. I don't know about you, but he took out the anger. He broke the curse. He took away the loneliness. He took away the guilt and the shame that the enemy likes to put upon you. I'm going to tell you, he washed me. He cleansed me. He purified me. He turned my life around. No, I should not be here today. No, I should not feel what I'm feeling here today. No, I should not be able to partake in this. But because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his love, because of Calvary, because of his blood, because of the price that he paid for me and for you, oh yeah, I've got a reason to shout. I've got a reason to clap my hands and get excited. I've got a reason to run. I've got a reason to dance, because there was a God that set me free. And my Bible said, he that the Son has set free is free indeed. No more chains, no more shackles, no more bondage, no more curse, no more sin. Yeah, God set me free. Yeah, you got a reason to shout. He took the bottle away from you. You've got a reason to clap your hands. He took the addiction of drugs away from you. He took anger out of your home. He put your marriage back together. He saved your kids. He made a way where there seemed to be no way. Oh yeah, somebody ought to give him praise. Somebody ought to give him worship. Come on, David said, oh, praise the Lord according to his excellent greatness. And if God's been good to you, if he's been great to you, you ought to give him great praise. Not a lay me down to sleep prayer, not a patty cake for Jesus prayer, but you ought to just give him great praise tonight. Great is the Lord. And greatly to be praised. Oh yeah, put those shoulders back. Raise your head up. There was a God that forgave you. There was a God that turned some things around. You say, Pastor, why you get so excited? Why you shout? Why you get happy? Why do you run? Well, let me ask you this. Why do you run when your baseball team wins? Why do you clap when your football team does great? Why do you get so excited over a basketball player who's never called you, who's never seen you, who's never prayed for you, who's never healed for you, who's never provided? Why do you get so crazy about those that will never do anything for you? You go ahead and worship your teams. You go ahead and worship your athletes. But I'm going to worship a God that never gave up on me. I'm going to worship a God that healed my body. I'm going to worship a God that put my life back together. You say, Pastor, it's not all in the shout. You're right about that. But it's not all in just sitting there either. I guarantee you, you put your finger in a light socket with a metal knife, you're going to feel something. Your body is going to convulse because of the electricity that it produces. You put your hand on a hot stove and you won't say, "Ooh, that feels good." No. You'd say, "Ah, that's hot." Same as those that get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Bible said fire fell upon them and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Jeremiah said, "It's like fire shot up in my bones. The reason why I clap, the reason why I run, the reason why I get so excited, because I've got the Holy Ghost and fire." And I didn't just get it on my lips. I didn't just get it in my hands. But I got it every part of my anatomy. And that's why I run and jump and shout and do all of that, because there was a God that lit me up more than a 240 volt could do. And some of you, you need a good old jolt from the Holy Ghost. Reason why you ain't smiling a long time, because you haven't been in the contact with God. And you're complaining over this and complaining over that, and you're mad because they're talking about you and they said that about you. Who cares? When you get in the presence of God, the only thing that matters is Him. I don't care about the naysayers. I don't care about those that don't want to pray and those that don't want to worship. As for me and my house, we gonna praise God. When we enter His courts, we come with praise. Hallelujah. Anybody come with praise tonight? Clap your hands unto the Lord. My question to you is this. How many of you has God been good to you? How many of you, really, has God ever healed your body? How many of you has had God take the bottle away? And the addiction's no longer there. And the drugs is no longer there. How many has God put your family back together and your marriage back together and your finances back together? Oh yeah, there's a God that's been good to you. Things may not have turned out the way you want them to, but if you think about it, God has been good to me. And you ought to take time in your day. Take a time out and have a praise break. You say, "Pastor, I'm at my job and I can't do that." Well, go to the bathroom and lock yourself in a stall and have a praise break. Go out to your car and crank the music on and have a praise break. Go around the corner if you want to, but you gotta stop and have praise. Because when you begin to praise God, He begins to dwell there and He begins to abide there. But here it is, every one of us would say that God has been good to us. And because of what He has given to you and given to me, we have a job to do. We have an obligation to fulfill. We have a commission to take care of. And that is, we must share what we have received. As you freely receive, we are to freely give. We were saved to help others, not to sit on a pew. We were set free to be a living testimony that if God could do it for you, then He could do it for them. I'm going to tell you tonight that we have a world that so desperately needs what we have and are experiencing tonight. We have family that need this. We have friends that need this. That is why His last words to us and His disciples were, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and these signs shall follow them that believe." We are to get it out there to the highways and the byways, to get this gospel out, to get this good news out. And it's our job. Somebody say, it's our job to go make disciples. That's our duty. That is our responsibility. That is what He has called us to do. Anybody believe that tonight? In the first century church, the expectation and the experience was that all born-again believers did ministry. Everybody say, all born-again believers did ministry. Originally, the word minister was a verb and not a noun. But somewhere down the line, Christianity has turned and turned the action word now into no longer a verb, but into a noun, or we would say into a title. People want to run after titles and not ministry. And Jesus did not intend for his commandment to go and make disciples of all nations to be fulfilled by only the fivefold ministry. In fact, Acts chapter 8, it presents a paradigm shift in fulfilling God's vision. Following the death of Stephen, there was an intense persecution that came against the church. And the last phrase, I didn't give this to you, Sister Sarah, but in the last phrase of the first verse of the 8th chapter of Acts, it says, "And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Everybody was scattered. After the persecution, after Stephen died, persecution came. Everybody ran away except the preachers. And in verse 4 of chapter 8, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." So if the apostles, the preachers, the religious title bearing fanatics were in Jerusalem, and it was church members that were scattered around preaching Jesus to this world, would not it be safe to say that they were scattered, that they didn't need to have a title to be used of God? You don't have to have a license to minister. You don't have to sit on the platform and get behind this pulpit to preach. No, your job should be your pulpit. Do you hear me? When you go to work tomorrow, your job, your profession, it should be your pulpit. Your school should be your mission field. I'm excited about some of our young men that they're going to establish a P7 club this year in their high school. I'm looking forward to a mighty harvest of souls, and I'm telling you, it is a mission field. I'm telling you, your neighbors could be your ministry. You listen to Pastor at the privilege and the responsibility of preaching, which is communicating. It's proclaiming this word does not just belong to the fivefold ministry. No, everybody is a minister. Everybody has ministry. Everybody has a purpose. Somebody said, "I have a purpose." You may never get behind this pulpit and preach, but if you'll hear this word and you'll study the word and you'll digest this word, then you can take this word outside the four walls of this church. That's our job. It's to take it outside. It's to take it to the streets. It's to take it to the store. It's to take it everywhere we go. It's to take the good news with us. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. Thank God for Sunday nights. Thank God for Sunday mornings. Thank God for worship services. Thank God for Wednesday night Bible study. Thank God for youth service on Friday. Thank God for Hyphen. Thank God for Sunday school. Thank God for junior kids, and on and on and on. Thank God for the ministry. Thank God for what he does here. But I'm going to tell you, we can't just live on what he does here, because too much ministry is being done by the church for the church. We continue carrying water to the river instead of carrying the water, the living water, to the desert. We must get this out beyond our walls. And what we do Monday through Saturday is more important than what we do here on Sundays. I know that's going to shock a lot of you, but what we do out there is more important than what we do in here. Because if we're not doing what we've been called to do and commissioned to do the other days of the week, then Sunday has a different purpose. If we only do ministry on Sunday and not any other day of the week, then this just becomes a great big pep rally and a motivational meeting where everyone gets propped up so they go back in the world and do nothing further for the kingdom of God. But if we will do the work of the ministry and make disciples Monday through Saturday, and we're praying for people and we're sharing the word with them and we're inviting them to church, then Sundays will become what it's designed for, and that's a celebration Sunday. If we can just get this out there, if we could just share this word with them, if we could just share them Jesus, we can fill our pews with people that are hungry for God, with people that are hurting and need to find a true love, with people that are looking for something real. You've already raised your hands that God has been good to you and that God has provided for you and that God's done some miraculous things in your home, in your family, and your finances. It's now our job not to just say finders, keepers, losers, weepers. No, but it's our job now is to share this to this world and to this friends and let them know there is a way out. We have what this world needs. We just need to be the church and we need to minister to them. We desperately need to go out to the highways and byways and compel them to come in. I'm reminded, and I don't know why I always go back to this, Sister Miller, but I'm reminded of our drama that we do, and we're going to do it in the year 2019. Looking forward to that, and hopefully we'll have Brother Dwayne in service just in case our lights go off and you know, the alarm goes off. He did that last time we did it. But I'm reminded of that woman at the well. And that woman at the well, if you'll take a trip down memory lane, or some of you may not have ever seen the drama, let me just kind of clue you in. That lady, that woman, the Bible said, didn't give us a name, but the woman at the well, she makes her way to a well. She's bringing a water pot. My question to you, why is she bringing a water pot? To get water. Not a trick question. Wow, write that down. Well, pastor said she brought a water pot to get water. Wow. Share that on Facebook. But she goes there to draw water. But she didn't go there during the day. She went late where nobody would see her, hoping not to come in contact with anybody. But she gets to a place where she needs her physical need to be met. She brings her water pot, hoping just to get the water and be about her business. And as she gets close enough to the well, she realizes there's somebody there. Now quickly she puts her head down low. And she also knows and realizes he's a Jew and she's a Samaritan. And there was, you think racism is something new in our era? No, it was alive then. And the Jews thought of the Samaritans as of dogs. And she realized that and she put her head down. Not only was she condemned for the lifestyle that she lived, but she was condemned on her ethnicity. She was condemned because she was a Samaritan. And she makes her way there, hoping not even to talk to this cat. And then this guy has the audacity, seeing that she's bringing her water pot. He doesn't even have anything. And his first words were, "Woman, give me to drink." And she's like, "Hello. This well is deep. And you have nothing to draw with. Duh. I'm hoping you to give me something to drink." And she says, "Who is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, to give thee drink?" And Jesus replies, "Woman, if you'd only know who you're talking to, you would have asked me instead, and I would have given you living water." And she goes, "What's this living water?" And he says boldly, "He that drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst again. And all of a sudden, revelation starting to hit her. Something that she's never even had that conversation before. And there's a lot of people that say, why do you go to church? Why do you go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, and revival services? What's so special about that? Well, if you've only known who you asking, if you go out there and drink, you're going to thirst again. But you come in the house of God and you drink of the well called the Holy Ghost and God begins to move upon you, you'll never thirst again. All we got to do is bring them here. God never told you to save anybody. You can't save anybody. You can't heal nobody. I can't heal anybody either. I can't save anybody either. But God can. It's not my job to save them. It's my job to get them here. It's my job to fill the pew. And that woman realizing what's going on. And she said, there's a time coming when the Messiah is going to come and he's going to tell us all things I've ever done. And he already broke it down and already talked about her sin. I didn't even go there. But the Lord talked about her sin. He said, the one you're with now is not even your husband. And you've had five husbands. So, don't read my mail. If you want God to change your life, you've got to be honest. Because walls and barriers may fool people, but it don't fool God. He knows the heart. He knows the thoughts of the heart. He knows the intents before the thought comes. You got to be real with God. You come to this house needing something. Don't walk out of here thinking you don't need nothing. Realize, you know what? I don't care what people say. I don't care what people will talk about me. I'm going to get what I need here. I'm going to raise my hands and I'm going to raise my voice and I'm going to make my way down to an altar because you can't help me, but he can. And he's the reason why I showed up. So she said, the Messiah is going to come. And then he says, woman, I who speak to you am he. And all of a sudden, revelation hits. Understanding begins to illuminate. She takes some steps back. And you look at it in scripture. At that water pot that she had carried to the well, no longer was she carrying. That water pot was left at that well. And revelation began to hit. And when revelation got to hit, then she quickly said, You're the Messiah. She believed him at his word and it changed everything about her, that encounter, that revelation. When she tasted of what the Lord gave her, she dropped her water pot and she ran throughout the streets saying, come, see a man who has told me all things I've ever done. Is this not the Christ? You read it. She turned her city upside down. She was an outcast, but when she came in contact with God, she forgot about her past. She forgot about her dilemma. She forgot about the water pot. And she said, I'm going to become an evangelist because God had mercy on me. God forgave me. And if he could do it for me, he could do it for them. God's done some great things in your life. Woe unto us if all we do is sing songs in here and worship in here, please. Don't get pastor wrong tonight. I love worship. I love praying. I love the music. I love everything about Sunday nights. Don't get pastor wrong. But I'm telling you, if all we do is shout in here and we don't shout out there, woe unto us. Got to learn. We've got to give this out. We've got to share this with everybody that we come in contact with. You say, Pastor, I don't know all the words. I don't know what to say. Has God ever spoke to you? He said, I want you to go pray for that person. God ever tell you, I want you to go over that person and just tell them that I love them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? God's ever given you a direct word and you know it was God. And all of a sudden you started questioning. You became like Moses. Well, I stutter. I can't do it. No problem. I'll get Aaron. He could do it. Well, I just got a rod. Throw the rod down. Turns into a serpent. Pick it back up. God's not looking at your ability because you don't got no ability. You may think you're all that, you ain't all that in a bag of chips, all right? I hate to burst your bubble here tonight. You ain't that good, but there is a God that says, I'm not looking at your ability, honey. I'm just looking for you to say, here I am, Lord. Send me, take my hands, take my feet, take my mouth. I'll speak what you say. You don't have to know every verse in the Bible. The Bible said that we're saved by the blood of the Lamb, but also by the word of our testimony. You have something to say. What do I say, Pastor? He gave me mercy. He took the bottle away. He took away my pain. He took away my loneliness. He took away my guilt and he gave me love. He gave me a second chance. We have 32 pews here tonight. 32 pews. If you don't believe me, you can count them. 32 pews. Not counting what's up here. I have hundreds and hundreds of names. Church directory, hundreds of names. There is not enough room on our pews. There is not enough room in this building. If we were to demolish all the walls and put in our balcony and extend it all to all the phase level it's going to be, we can't house the revival that God has for us. We got names here. I didn't put all the names. We've got several hundreds of names that I didn't put on the pews, but I did put on pews of some names that you would recognize, some names you'd know, like this brother Zeke. Anybody remember Zeke? I remember Zeke. I remember him on fire for God. Remember Joel Padilla. You look at these names. The enemy wants to take you out. You got to take ownership of this. Not in my house. Not any longer, Brother Manuel. I'm going to fill my pew. I'm going to fill him with the Zeeks. I'm going to fill him with the Godinez family. I'm going to put him in my life. I'm going to take all these names. I'm going to take the Antoinettes. I'm going to take the Joel Padillas. I'm going to take the Augies and Kims. I'm going to take the Priscillas and on and on. And every one of these pews have family members that the devil wants to take out. I'm telling you, we've got to get men and women that'll take ownership of this and say, no, it's not just going to be a Sunday night service, but I'm going to fill my pew with men and women that are hungry for this. I wish somebody would raise your voice. Come on, hundreds upon hundreds of people that have sat on our pews. And we got to do more than just have Sunday night church. We got to live this Monday through Saturday. Somebody lift up your voice. I know I'm not preaching to everybody. I know I'm not reaching to everybody.
But if I could just reach one, if I could just reach somebody that'll agree with Pastor, that'll say, Pastor, I'll take ownership of my pew and I will fill it. Somebody lift up your voice. Come on. Come on. Why are you preaching this way, Pastor? Because we're living in the last days. And we got to work while there is light. You say, Pastor, what are the other papers? They don't have a name on it. No, they don't. It's your job to fill the names in. How much does your friends mean to you? How much does your family mean to you? How much does your neighbor mean to you? How much does that coworker mean to you? I'm talking to everybody. We've got to learn. We've got to fill our pew. We've got to run out to the highways and the byways. And we've got to say, come see a man. Oh, would you lift your voice with me tonight? Would you lift your voice with me tonight? Come on, Abundant Life Center. If Jesus wept for a city, we ought to weep for people. Save them, God. Let your blood be on them, God. Do whatever it takes, but save their soul. Save Antoinette. Save Joel. Save Augie. Save Priscilla. Oh, God, set me on fire. I'd like everybody to find at least one pew. I don't want one pew open. And I want you to pray for that pew. Maybe you have two or three praying, but I need everybody praying for at least one pew. If you see a pew that's not being prayed for, I need you to go pray for it. And I need you to begin to speak some things on this pew. There are going to be people that are going to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost on this pew. Alcohol is going to come off them. The chains of addiction, of drugs and perversion, it's going to fall. Come on, somebody. Begin to claim authority, apostolic authority over your pew. God, give me that anointing that breaks every yoke, God. Help me fill my pew. Help me put hungry souls on that pew, God. Come on. Come on. Somebody speak over those names. Somebody call those names out in prayer. Eduardo Pena, I plead the blood on you by the power and the authority that's in your name. Come on. Help us, God. Change us, God. Come on. Come on. I pray for Martin and Lizette. plead your blood on them, God. Do whatever it takes. Draw them back to you, God. The power and the authority that's in your name. Come on. Start claiming your friends. Start claiming your family. I see them there next to me, God. I see them there right beside me, God. I see them at the altar, God. I see them going down in no other name but the name of Jesus. Set us on fire. Set us on fire. Come on, find another pew. Somebody pray for our doors. Somebody pray for our altars. Somebody pray for our baptismal waters. Oh. Pray for that balcony, God. I pray, God, that in that balcony would be men and women with their lives changed. The bonds of sin and the curses broken. See them filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See a hand on them, God. See a favor on them, God. Come on, this is filling our pews. This is filling our pews. You want to adopt some of these names? I'm going to take these names. I'm going to take them home with me. I'm going to pray over those names. I want them back, God. I want them back, God. Devil, get your hand off them. Get your hand on them, devil. Come on. You're breaking down the gates of hell right now. You're storming the very gates. Bible says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Sharakayato. Sharakayato. Sharayarakayato. Come on. Spend some time in this. Oh, God. Shataraya rakayato sharayanda yaki hiya rayando rako rasi. Breathe into her, God. Show randa yasi. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Trouble our waters, God. Trouble these waters, God. Let people lay down their old life. Let them find you, God. Oh, wash away their sins. Oh, let an influx of souls be birthed again, God.
Sharaya rakaya rasi. Taraya rasu. Taraya rasu. Hallelujah. 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 Oh. Oh God. Oh. Oh God. Daya oh. Hallelujah, God. Pray for Augie. Pray for Augie, God. Bleed your blood on them. This very moment, God, this very hour. God, dispatch your angels. Dispatch your angels, God. Dispatch your angels, God. Sharaki araso. Tayaranda yarako. Oh, God, I pray for Priscilla. Whatever it takes, God. Whatever it takes, God. Whatever it takes, God.
In no way was this service meant to condemn anybody, but it was meant to challenge us. You say, Pastor, there were several names that weren't listed. That's why we have blank papers. For you to really go out there and begin to fill these pews. Again, thank God for us having service here, but if we're just having service with just us, we've missed it. But if we can get them from out there and bring them in, then that turns into celebration. And if you'd be honest with me, I think every one of us could at least fill up a pew. And if we filled up our pews, they become stars in your crown. Because when you understand the enormous debt that you owe God and what God did in your life, then you realize it's pretty easy just to tell my story. I was lost without God, but He found me. Every one of you have a past. I don't care what it was. Some people like to compare their past. Well, yours is worse than mine. No, you're all are bad. Ain't no big sin, little sin. It's just sin. When my wife started talking about 24 hours of prayer and fasting, it's pushing down the flesh and saying, baby, you don't live here. Spirit does. But I challenge you to adopt a pew, take some of these papers, fill out names, and take some of those names I have listed there. Say, Pastor, I don't know who they are. I don't pray for them. When you begin to pray, Bible says the Spirit begins to speak things. You have no idea how to handle it. The Spirit knows what to do. Start tapping into the Spirit. I'm telling you, we're fixing to have a great harvest of souls on August 5th. Usually we pack everybody out here in the 500 backpack. But I'm going to tell you, if we don't start mending our nets and repairing the holes, God can't trust us with more fish. But you say, well, I can't handle 50. I'm not asking to handle 50. Handle 10 or 12 on your pew. If we can do that, I'm telling you, once you win one soul, it just starts getting contagious. You can't just, we've got a job to do. And I want to see people filled the way I was filled. As I don't know about you, but I was messed up. But God saved me. Thank God for that. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your power and your Spirit. Thank you for your children here tonight. I pray blessings over them. I pray your favor over them. I pray you'd empower them, God. Give them that anointing, God. Give them wisdom beyond their own understanding. Help them, God, at school. Help them, God, at their job. Help them, God, with their neighbors. Help them, God, with their family and friends. Help them live this life, God, that we can share forth you and invite them to church. We give you praise and worship in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay here as long as you like. God bless every one of you in Jesus' name.